The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 9 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. A couple of guests in our studio today. They are from the Huron County Farm Bureau's Project Red, and it is in its big 15th year, decade and a half. It's a teenager now.
There you go.
Our guests today are Charlene Hagen and Debbie Kubatsky. And we're going to be talking about the program coming up for kids, third graders usually, if I remember it, coming up in early September. So thanks for being with us, ladies.
Thank you.
First of all, when is Project Red?
September 11th it will be.
That's Tuesday?
Tuesday.
And basically, who are you trying to draw to this event?
Basically, it's third graders across the county that are invited every year. We do have country schools that one country school generally brings her entire class every year. She's been doing it for 14 years, and she's coming again this year with her entire class. Some of the other ones and some of the small parochial schools may bring a second, third, fourth grade combination in order to bring, say 8 or 10 kids.
Enough to fill a minibus.
A minibus, van, something like that. Right.
I also understand that homeschooled third graders are also welcome. Are you still able to register to become part of it?
For sure. If anyone out there is homeschooled, we welcome them, and they can call the Huron County Farm Bureau office, 269-9911.
Okay, and it's been going on 15 years. Started off as a little experiment that seems to have blossomed, and how is the turnout going? Are you getting all the schools involved? You've been telling me before the program numbers are a bit down because of enrollment, but are all the schools still enthused and come on out?
They are. We're very lucky that way, that the teachers are still enthusiastic and bring their all their students. Numbers are down because school children numbers are down, but we do have all the schools attending and look forward to having them.
And what is the basic purpose of Project Red for the kids? What are you hoping they get out of it?
The main goal right from year one has been to educate young people about where everything that they do in life, whether they're eating, they're playing, they're getting dressed in the morning, whatever it is that they're doing, originates from a seed somewhere. And we need to get them to the fairgrounds to help understand. They get hands-on experiences on understanding where a gallon of milk comes from. It's just not when mom goes to the town or the grocery store and grabs a gallon of milk and that's it. They see things like tomatoes, and they get to experience on hand big farm machinery. They get to see it up close, so it isn't such a monster when it's going down the road.
And you know, we think we're in an agricultural community here in the Upper Thumb, but there are a lot of kids who live in towns and their parents work elsewhere. They may have a place out in the country but don't actually farm, so a lot of people aren't exposed to this as you might think.
Correct.
It is correct. Project Red actually stands for Rural Education Day. Like I said, we have rural education because it needs to be done. The kids need to see this, and rural education isn't just about agriculture, it's also about dairy and natural resources also. We feel the need to expose them to that also.
And do kids get surprised sometimes when you tell them, you know, those jeans you're wearing started out as a cotton seed? That sweater you're wearing is yarn from a sheep or some other animal that makes wool. I mean, it might kind of surprise them that all of this stuff does originate on a farm somehow.
We have evaluation sheets for the teachers that they take back, and we have had poster contests in the past, and the kids, it's always amazing to us when we get the posters back, what they picked up from Project Red that day. It some of it is so cute and so funny, their interpretation of what they saw. But the point got across, and that's our goal. And I think one of the biggest compliments to us is the fact that we're still here after 15 years, mainly because the teachers think this is an important day. It's not just a day to get the kids out of school and give them a break from school, because obviously they've just started. So they really don't need a day off, but the teachers feel there's education involved there. And a lot of them take back things that they've learned because we give them a special teacher packet with information that some of our supporters have included that they would like to see happen in the classroom. And the teachers love that kind of stuff because it gives them something new to present to their kids again.
Is this all this teacher's packet and stuff? Is this all stuff that you who organized the program had to create? I mean, it just seems like, you know, this, unlike the kids think the milk just comes from the store, this just doesn't fall out of the sky either. This has to be thought out. Somebody has to do it, and somebody has to review it once it comes back. I mean, there's a lot of behind the scenes on this, isn't there?
For sure. Pretty much starting in March, both Charlene and I and office staff, Leanne Schutte also is on, co-chairs with us. We get together, meet, but we also make contact with our donors. All our donors have stayed with us since year one. We're very grateful for that. And our community is awesome. We have one of the best goodie bags, I have to say. It's sounding a little bragging, but it's just awesome what our donors have given us, from our commodities to corporate donations, whatever it may be. We have an excellent goodie bag.
And that can reinforce what they've learned, because they have a little something to show maybe this aspect of it, and it all links together.
For sure. And the goodie bag also has items in it that are not only items that are from the seed, but are also byproducts also. We want the students to understand that there are more than just that one item, but also there's different byproducts that come from that item, and so that they can make that connection when they go in the store and see the different items and how, where it comes from, be it from a soy product or from a dairy product or what it may be.
A sample would be a little bottle of glue that they get in there. And there's a sticker on there that tells them that it actually originates, you know, and has bovine product in it. You know, that they wouldn't be aware of that.
No. And just because it has a little cow on the front of the glue doesn't mean that they're going to make that big jump.
That's correct. And we have several products that are like that, and we make sure that we tag everything and make the connection for them in language that they can understand.
Now, what basically do the kids do when they're there? Because third graders, you know, if you're just going to sit them in the expo center and preach to them, that's pretty much going to be a yawn fest for third graders, and they'll be like, well, we could have done this in class. Obviously, you must have more hands-on and visual types of things for the kids to participate in.
Right. One of the popular stops is with Gary Protzman and his family. They've been with us for 15 years, and they always bring a cow and a calf, and you know, they get to do everything from, you know, petting the little calf to milking the cow if they want, or I think he's even let them put their hands in their mouth and check their teeth and stuff like that. He's very original with the kids, and the kids absolutely, again, it's animals, they love it.
And he's familiar with the animals. He knows which ones are good around people, so he's bringing the right kind of animal to be with the kids.
He brings the quietest, most gentle cow you've ever seen in your life, and it's important to him because he knows, you know, what the consequences could be. But
Also just the impression the kid gets. If they see that the cow is, you know, snorting and nasty, they're going to think that's what cows are, and they're not necessarily
right.
That.
Right, and they don't like what they see at that point. I know we're having a cider press will be there this year, and they get to actually put the apples in that. And so there's minute activities, but they always have something. Soil and Conservation have them. They've made necklaces and bracelets, and they've been given little beads that are directed towards water and wind and whatever. But, you know, things that they make and take home again, and that's what keeps them active in what's going on, and they pay attention.
Now, you obviously have to gear this for your audience. I mean, you know, the cows, you can tell them, you know, this is where hamburger comes from, but you can't be too graphic about how it comes. You can kill the apples in the cider press. The kid's not going to cry, but when he sees a little calf and a cow there, he's going to be... So you have to develop the program to meet their needs and sensitivities.
Yes, our presenters are very well-versed in how to present it to the third grader so that they understand it. It's not dumbed down to them. It's on the level so that they understand it. It's educational, and they take it back to their classroom, and the teacher can go over it again with them, and they gain education from it and can keep that education and go over it with their teacher. It's a very good learning experience for them.
Now, what type of things do you have for them this year? I mean, it's your 15th year. I imagine you've got some special things coming up for the kids this year.
As far as learning stations, we have the wind energy people are coming back. We have our dairy nutrition. Vita Plus is coming in that. That's also a hands-on station. They're going to have a chance to actually feel and touch the different grains that the animals eat and see what nutrition they are, so that they know where their food product comes from is healthy and nutritious.
And they see these things growing in the field, they can start to identify a little bit, you know, well, this is straw, so that must have been wheat, and here's the alfalfa they eat during the winter when they don't have grass to graze on. I mean, all these little things kids pick up and carry with them.
Absolutely.
Yep, exactly.
And how long do they be at a station? Is this usually, because you've got it, lots of kids coming, so you've got to kind of shuffle them around because you can only have a small group at each station to effectively teach.
They have 15 minutes at a station and then 5 minutes to move from station to station. So it is a short time frame, so it is very important that the presenter, you know, get a good concentration of you know, information to the student so that they can take that home and discuss it back in the school setting with their teacher.
And there's no picking and choosing. They go to all the stations throughout the course of their day there.
Yes, there's 10 stations, and local FFAs from across the county send volunteers, and those are our leader guides. And that seems to be a huge thing with the young students, to see high school kids that maybe they see on their bus or they see in the halls of the school somewhere or out on the football field or whatever. Hey, that guy's here at Project Red too, you know, so this is pretty cool. I'm here with big kids. And those guys do such a good job of leading those kids around. Again, it's a 15-minute session, which is plenty long enough because it holds their attention for 15 minutes, and then it's okay, you're up and moving and you're gonna go see something else. And they hustle right along. They love knowing that, well, we're going to go see something else, and they don't know what it is, but you know, they can see that big tractor parked over there under the tree. I wonder what's going to happen over there. And actually at that station, the young farmers from Farm Bureau are running that station, and we have started including a class picture with the big piece of equipment for the classroom. And so that's been that's relatively new. I think we've only had it for maybe 3 years, but it's been a popular thing also.
Well, it just, you know, is a good remembrance of that day.
Right. The
kids
teachers
were there.
Like it. Teachers really like that.
And they can go back and see their kids from past years, and it's just kind of nice to have, I would think.
Right.
Is it difficult with some of the stations? You know, you're talking, you know, like maybe petting or milking a cow. You can only milk a cow so long and they're empty.
Yeah.
I mean, is it? Do they have to kind of gear it to where things are at that time of day for the animal and the other things they're doing?
Right. He doesn't actually milk the cow.
Oh, okay.
You know, he runs the milking machine. They can stick their fingers in there,
the
suction, something like that. Because obviously it's an off time for the cow.
They have, but, like, their schedule, and you don't mess with it.
Well, that's, you're right. You're exactly right. But, yeah, anything that we have like that with the animals, the people are so conscientious of what they have. Our presenters are so in touch, and they know these are third grade kids. So they know their program has to be geared to that level. And so consequently, you know, it's a maybe a little bit slower presentation, just to make sure everything they're saying is sinking in and whatever. It wouldn't be like talking to high school kids who are maybe holding up their little recorder and catching everything that the teacher's saying. It's gone over really well, and the presenters have really learned how to deal with them, and it's helped so much, and the kids enjoy it so much more.
Terrific. What else do you have? I mean, I've heard of the animals. I've heard of some big machinery. I've heard of the seed people being there, showing them where it all starts. Other things going on?
We have a couple ladies that have only been with us one other time, but they do a really fun demonstration on tomatoes. They have actually made costumes, and they sing a little song about tomatoes, and this year they're going to have little grape tomatoes there. We're going to provide those, so any of the kids that want to taste them or like them, they can all have a sample of a tomato, and that's a fun station. We have a program called Andy the Ambulance, and it's a little robot type ambulance. It's a miniature ambulance that's run by a guy standing in the background somewhere with a remote control, and Andy talks and tells you about safety, and we have asked them to gear it towards agriculturally related accidents or emergency situations, and they're from the Huron and Sanilac EMS network. So that's a volunteer program. They like to eventually get into the classroom and do a little thing closer, one-on-one.
USA FFA is doing a program called TONE. It stands for Training of Nutrition and Exercise. So they're going to tie in a dairy product called a Go-Gurt with their program. They're going to teach students about healthy eating habits and the importance of calcium and nutrition, and then do some exercise programs with them and teach them that. And then at the end, they'll have a snack of a Go-Gurt. So kind of a fun hands-on thing, and yet have a snack also, which is a win-win situation that way too.
So good nutrition.
Exactly.
Instruction.
We try to get it all out there. We don't try to just say, you know, okay, here's about growing sugar beets, here's about growing corn, here's about raising hogs. There's so much more that agriculture is involved with, and we want that started at an early level so these kids grow up knowing that.
Right. I mean, I guess I would like to say, if there's any commodity out there that would like to see us, you know, presented at Project Red, give us a call. I mean, we're always looking for commodities that we would like to have presented at Project Red. We're open to any. We'd like to see that at Project Red. So if there's any commodity out there that would like to see that highlighted.
Gives them a little idea of either where things come from, what can be made of it, or how it's used multiple ways, like soybeans for oil, meal, and all kinds of other things they use.
Right.
So it one crop can go many different places. It's kind of like giving blood.
Right, exactly.
You can divide it in many ways.
Yep. Excuse me, but I wanted to say that's how we tie the donations into it, too. And that's why it's so important that we talked about the donations, because they do go home with that goodie bag. Aside from the teachers getting an informational bag, the students get the goodie bag. And it is filled with snack type things, but also informational things that have donations in them and that tie back to what they saw that day, and that they can experience hands-on experience again from what they saw that day.
Well, I know you. One year I came and I got a goodie bag, and I still have it's like a hockey puck size thing, like two petri dishes together with soybeans in it, and it's still in my drawer over here somewhere.
There you go.
I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, it's kind of neat.
Well, some of the people, you know, some of the commodities are very original, you know, like there are coloring books with information called the Piglet Press. There's another one that there's a sheep breeder's newspaper, but it's geared towards children. And, you know, these commodities have these things, and, you know, they're looking for ways to get them to young students. And so our program provides that, and we're helping both ends of the spectrum then. We're helping the people get their safety issues, their health issues out on their commodities, and the kids are learning at an early age, and they remember that. They remember being at Project Red. Obviously, with us being 15 years old, I don't know about you, Debbie, but I've had numerous people out of high school, in college, remembering the day they were at Project Red. Debbie's actually had some volunteers that are in college their first year and they want to come back, and she had to write a letter requesting their presence to come help at Project Red. But, you know, they remember the day they were there as a kid learning, and then they remember being in FFA and being part of the ones that led the other kids around, and now they want to come back for the program.
It's true. We have three regional FFA officers that are going to come this year and help us at Project Red and mentor some of the other FFA students that are there. And to me, that's just a reflection on how positive our program is when you see that kind of eagerness to come back to the program and see it work.
Now, you probably have to remind people when they want to maybe participate or donate that you've got like 300 kids coming, and if everyone's got to have one in the bag, then you've got to have that many to supply, because you don't want to give one. 500 is is where it is now.
Yep.
You got to have one for every kid because you don't want to have them going home crying.
That's why we can't emphasize enough the people who donate to this program are horrendously generous. And they've been doing it, so many of them, for 15 years. And they started out doing it when we were between 750 and 800 kids. They were donating enough for every bag. And so, yes, the numbers have come down, but a lot of them have said, you know, can I help in another way? Or if they were donating a monetary donation, they have increased their monetary donation. They want the program to continue, and, you know, that's why we have the goodie bag for the kids that we do, because they are so generous. And basically, all it's been is saying, you know, this is what we do, this is where, when we're doing it, you know, do you want to be a part of it? And oh my God, yes, you know, what do you need? What do you want? And, you know, we get together and another item is entered into the goodie bag.
And we even have donors that give more than just items that go in the goodie bag. Many people chuckle, but we have the donation of the portable toilets. I mean, it like I said, it's humorous to some, but
the kids need them.
Yes.
And yeah, you got to have them.
Yep.
And we
golf carts and,
yeah,
and gators that help us out. We have radios that we use back and forth that day.
Thumb,
you know,
radio donates so we can communicate with each other.
Yep.
And
it's all the logistics behind this people don't think about.
Correct.
When you have to put on a program.
Correct.
Like this.
Correct. You know, one of our key guys is Roger from Tri-County Equipment, who comes and moves the big bleachers around inside the arena for us so that we have enough seating for the kids. It, you know, it's one little thing, but it's a huge thing. And the Huron County work crew, I think we'd be pretty much dead in the water without
mm-hmm.
those guys, because
yeah,
they do the bulk, the heavy work, the mowing of the grass, the sweeping of the bleachers. They help move those bleachers around, and they're there on they come to the Farm Bureau building and they actually do some work on for a few days there, and then they come on Monday and they spend all day there, and they come back Tuesday and load the bales back up that we've got spread out all over for the kids to sit on, and they come back Wednesday and clean up the fairground so it looks the way it was before we got there. So that's huge. That's something that Debbie and I had to try and organize with farm volunteers in the beginning, and it's a tough time to get farmers to come and volunteer to spend a day there and do that kind of stuff. And this has worked out just fabulous for
us. That's what the Sheriff's Work Crew is for. It is to help the community, and I couldn't think of a better way to utilize that help is to keep your costs down.
Right.
They do a fabulous job.
They do.
And you know, they know ahead of time. I have a list made up. They know what their jobs are going to be, and they just tear into them and go from one to the other.
There's just so many. I mean, we have sound systems donated. There's straw donated. There's just so many. And if we're missing anybody, we apologize because there's so many of you. We would like to list everybody that donates. So again, I apologize, and Charlene does, if we've missed anybody. It's such a great community endeavor that helps us. We really appreciate it.
Now, the kids arrive and they go into the Expo Center, but you can't contain all of this in just the Expo Center. You use quite a bit of the fairgrounds to make this happen?
They actually only pass through the Expo Center.
That's sort of like registration, we're here.
Correct. Yes, the teacher comes in, she registers, she writes down how many kids are there that day, and then they pass through into the big arena, and that's where they see the opening session, which lasts about 20 minutes. And then after that's done, then they break out and they actually use what's known as the sheep building, the hog building, the beef building. They're out near the horse arena under the big tree there. They're in the 4-H building. They're in the rabbit building. So they're spread out through the whole fairgrounds. And it's quieter that way when a session begins. You know, everybody is segregated off.
For the animal.
And they don't make very much noise. They're always pretty quiet. Yeah. So. Yep.
I'm sure they're picked because of that type
exactly.
of temperament. That they're
I
not
going
to be
so.
Bellowing all through. You're trying to tell them something. And
right.
And the little lady next to you is...
Correct.
And so they go all around, and this is rain or shine?
Rain or shine.
Because you really can't predict the weather that far in advance to set all this stuff up.
Actually, I think our first year it was raining. I think it was raining. But, mm-hmm. you know, we emphasize to the teacher, they get teacher packets ahead of time, and we emphasize with a letter in there, dress for the fairgrounds. Have the children dress for the fairgrounds, you know. And obviously, if it's raining, good idea.
Waterproof
boots
jacket,
on.
Boots, because you're going to be slopping around in the puddles.
Right.
Okay. It's the 15th year. You see this going on again, I suppose, next year. I understand that it's your last year,
well,
Charlene.
Yeah.
You're not. You're probably going to be around, you're just kind of doing that whole Olympic thing, you know, and I'm going to pass the baton to the next person and let them run.
Right, you know, sometimes you just get too old and, you know, you think
oh,
that.
Oh, geez.
Never gonna be too old.
But, you know, I'm a firm believer that there are people that have new ideas, and I'm just ready to step back. I did tell Leanne Schutte is probably going to be the head honcho on most of this stuff. She's going to guide the program along. And, you know, Debbie plans to step back a little bit too, but we do know that this is a program that can't just be dumped on somebody. So we're both going to be in the background helping Leanne in any way that we can, whatever she needs for guidance, if she needs us to sit in at a couple of meetings prior to. Things like that.
Some truckload full of files, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's Debbie. Debbie. Yeah. But, you know, there are some connections that Debbie and I have that we know they're important ones. And we'll try and stick with helping her out as far as getting some of those donations brought forward and stuff. But, the physical part of it, I'm ready to slack off on, get lazy.
Because again,
if you
a lot of people
it.
Don't think of what goes on in the background. If you're getting contributions, you know, there's accounting, there's having to be accountable, and all this other stuff that has to take place in the background. It's not just the day of and the kids having a great time. It's all that goes into it behind the scenes to get it there and prepare it for the next year.
Yeah, and we do have a wonderful Farm Bureau office staff. Laura Farr is very wonderful at that to work with. But I do think we're in a new phase now. I think we could call it a transition. I think the new committee is not going to be just, we were more a committee of two, and then the last couple of years it's been a committee of three. I think what Leanne is trying to look at now is more of a committee of maybe 9 or 10, with everybody taking smaller portions, so it's not such a big load on everybody. And I think Leanne has a really good idea that way. And I think she's got it lined
up that way.
Well, it
also shields you from in case somebody gets really sick.
Exactly.
That, you know, they know everything and what are we going
to
do?
Well, that's where the two of us have been really tied to the program, because it, like she said, it's just been the two of us right from the get-go. And until Leanne came on a couple years ago and jumped in and started helping us out, but even then she was hesitant because she didn't know, you know, what exactly has to be done, when and where and how. And but, you know, she's been helping us out now. She feels a little more confident, I'm hoping. But
she's very capable, so it's going to be fine.
I really like about Leanne joining this team is her goal is the same as what ours has been.
Yep.
Educate young people about agriculture. And she thinks that's as important as we do. Mm-hmm. So that's why she's a very key, good person to have stepping into this spot.
And there's been a lot of, how would you call, backup players also that have been key helpers the day of Project Red 2 that we can't list all their names, but I mean they've been right there and helping our different stations be fulfilled in the needs that they needed, be it lunches, be it buses loaded with the goodie bags, things like that. Those people were very important, and I think that a number of those are going to stay also. So,
and those are people that have been here for 15 years.
Yes.
They started helping us the first year.
We've never lost them. Yeah.
Well, that's what you need in an organization like this, though, is dedication to the program.
Correct. There's way over 100 volunteers putting this thing together for the day. And that's really big, in my opinion, because sometimes it's hard to get 10 people to volunteer for something. And, you know, of course, this includes all the FFA students, which, you know, it benefits them to be part of a program like this also. But they want to be there. They were there as third graders. They want to come back. And that's how our adult helpers also are. And, you know, the volunteers come from all over. You know, some of the banks send volunteers, and Farm Bureau sends a ton of volunteers. And some of the presenters, like Don Coghlan with his horseshoeing, he brings two or three guys with him every year that want to come and be part of the program. And they're just people that want to do this program.
And I imagine the kids never realized how those horseshoes went on.
No.
You don't tie them on with laces or Velcro, huh?
And I bet they wonder now when they see him hammering a nail in there.
I'm asking them, doesn't that hurt?
Correct. Or when he's trimming their hooves and all these shavings are coming off, you know, they're looking at their own fingernails and thinking, wow, you know, you couldn't take that much off me.
Well, if you let it grow for 7 months, you might.
There you go.
Now, it's coming up again when?
September 11th. That's a Tuesday, second Tuesday of the month.
Starts in the morning, runs till about 1:30-ish in the afternoon or so?
Approximately 1:30.
And then the kids get back on the bus, head back to school, wrap up their day, and go home and thrill mom and dad with all they saw and all they learned that day.
Correct.
That's our goal.
And again, it's not too late for homeschooled kids. If they want to participate, the mothers and parents can contact you folks and make arrangements that there will be a goodie bag and they can tag along with someone to get all the information that's available.
Absolutely. They can call the Huron County Farm Bureau office at 989-269-9911, or they can contact myself or Charlene also. Or Leanne, even though she's working at the bank, but you could call her too.
Something else that, you know, we always look forward to, sometimes we have the commissioners come and visit, and we welcome that type of thing. If someone wants to come and see what the program is, we welcome them coming to watch. Of course, we, you know, ask that they respect the presenters and, you know, don't disrupt anything so that the children can pay attention to who's presenting. But we absolutely welcome people to come and see what the program's all about. And if they have ideas for us, you know, let us know. Or, you know, if they think of something or they want to volunteer, hey,
even better,
we're ready.
Well, somebody else is ready. You're backing down a little bit, so they can contact someone else, set it up, and maybe get their own station next year.
Right.
Because I would imagine about the 12th, you're going to start thinking about who's coming back and how many stations you're going to have, because you just can't wait till March and call people up and say, you're going to be available this day? Because they have to plan for it, too.
That Tuesday afternoon, you would be amazed how many people are talking about coming back next year and what they're going to do in their presentation or how they're going to change it or whatever. And sometimes we have people call and want to be part of the program. We've already filled it. And so we put them on a list for the next year and make sure we get them in the following year, especially if it's something new. But we do, that's the one good thing that Debbie and I both agree on from the time we started when we were digging for people, because of course people are nervous about doing it. They don't know if they want to spend an entire day doing this and talking about the same thing over and over again to a bunch of little kids. Once they got there and got part of it and saw the excitement that the kids had and how well behaved the students always are. We have never ever had issues with children. They're always so well behaved at the program that they started coming out of the woodwork and they wanted to be part of the program. And that's made it so much easier for Debbie and I to put a program together. Or I should say in the past, Debbie and I, now Leanne.
It's hard to hand that thing off, isn't it?
Well, you talked about it.
It's been your baby for 15
yeah,
years. This is
yeah.
this is
yeah.
like, oh, the yeah. kid's going off to college or something, and yeah. I'm going to be involved every day.
Yeah. It's still we.
It is. Yeah. It'll be different, but it's exciting to see, too, the transition come. It is. It really will.
And it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they change a little in the direction one way or another, mm-hmm. because, you know, everybody gets comfortable, and sometimes mm-hmm. change is good that way.
For sure.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But it's always been a program that's hands-on type of thing. The kids are there. It's not like, here's an iPad. Look at the cow.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's the whole point of this, is to get kids out there and involved and see it directly.
Absolutely.
Right. Even though we change and we stay current, you know, and acknowledge that there are changes that occur and have to, you know, happen with our program, too. It's not like we're behind the times either. We do, mm-hmm. you know. Embrace that too and go with the changes too.
But there's only so much you can keep a third grader occupied that you gotta stick with the basics that work.
Correct. And that's why, you know, like I said, the stations are short enough in time that by the time they're sat down there and they see what that presenter is going to start talking about, they're grabbed and they're ready to listen.
Well, I appreciate you coming out today. I'm glad you got a group of 500 kids coming. You said it's down a bit, but that's only because enrollment's down. That has nothing
Correct.
To do with the schools not participating as they used to. It's just the way enrollment's been going. Schools have been hit with budget cuts because they get their funding by student numbers, and they know that feeling too. So the schools are participating as much as they can. It's just the numbers are down because the enrollment's down, and hopefully we can turn that around too.
Right.
But I appreciate you coming out and spending some time with us talking about Project Red coming up on September the 11th. That's a Tuesday. And again, if you're a parent educating your kid at home, there's still time to get your third grade student in there. Just give the Farm Bureau building a call, the Farm Bureau office a call, and they will see that you get the information you need. And good luck, and I will cross my fingers for good weather.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank you
that.
So much for having us. We appreciate it.
Our guests today on the program have been Debbie Kubatsky and also Charlene Hagen for the Project Red program here on County Farm Bureau. And coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.